It's at the bottom of Mem Gimel on Bet. So the last thing that the Mishnah mentioned was Chaim Beben or Bevat. We had discussed along in the Mishnah, one of the other items that the Mishnah just mentioned is that by a shur, that there's a din that you're chayav when it comes to a ben and a bat. So you might want to know why. Chaim Rabbanan, o beni gach, o vati gach, the chayev ala ktanim kigdolim. That you're chayav for the damage the shur does, or the killing the shur does when it comes to a katan, just like by a gadol. Valo dinu, why do you need a pasuk to teach you this? It's a very straightforward kal v'chomer. Ho v'chayev adam be'adam, v'chayev shur be'adam. Right, so when we have different types of killing, right, we have person killing person, and we have shur killing person. Masha k'chayev adam be'adam, lo shna ben k'tanim l'gdodim. When it comes to a person killing another person, it's irrelevant whether they killed a katan or a gadol or chayav. Af kishe chayav shur be adam, also here, where shur kills an adam, lo tachlok ben ktanim l'gdolim. Why would you differentiate between ktanim and gdolim? So that lack of differentiation that happens when a person kills another person should be apparent, it should be in effect when a shur kills an adam. So why do I need a specific pasuk to come and teach me that ktanim are chayav when a shur kills vod kal v'chomer, and an additional kal v'chomer, ma adam ba adam. Lo asar bo ktanim ki gdolim, right? Chayav bo ala ktanim gdolim. So now here comes the kal and the chomer, which will make it a little easier to understand the logical argument. By adam, when you have a person that kills another person, if the killer, right, is a katan, they are not chayav. If the killer is a gadol, right, then they are chayav. So where, by adam, there's a distinction between whether the killer is a katan or a gadol. Nevertheless, it's irrelevant who they kill. The victim can be a katan or a gadol. By shur ba'adam, you're talking about shur killing adam. Shatabo ktanim kigdolim, meaning that it's then irrelevant. The shur hamazik, the shur that is horeg, right, that kills, it doesn't matter whether the shur is a katan or gadol. Doesn't matter what size or age the shur that kills does. Then in din shchayav ktanim kigdolim, right? It shouldn't be. Same thing with the victims, it should be irrelevant what the age of the victim is.
The first one is obviously the Kavachomer.
Generally, Dinhu means the Kavachomer, but you see when the Gemara wants to say the old Kavachomer, it's the Kavachomer. And the first one, there's no real. The first one, I think you have to read as the Meimatsino, otherwise, I don't see a Kavachomer, I don't see a Kal and a Chomer there. So, I don't know how you read it as a Kavachomer necessarily. Because it's actually the other way around, which we're going to see in a second from the Gemara. It sounds more like there's a Chomer and a Kal, and then why would you learn from Adam, which is Chomer, to Shur, which is Kal? So you have to say it's some sort of Meimatsino. The Gemara says, look, Adam Adam has a chumrah, right? So you can't necessarily learn out of Adam because you're chayav in the four things, meaning that you're not only chayav in nezek, you're chayav in other areas. Tomar v'shor, shenu chayav v'dal dvarim. Shor is only chayav, right? Exclusively chayav in nezek. So there is a chumrah by Adam that's not by shor, and therefore maybe that's the reason that by Adam there's no distinction between ktanim and gdolim. Whereas by shur, there would be a reason to distinguish between ktanim and gdolim. So Talmud Lomar, right? What's the Talmud Lomar? Oveni gach, ovaki gach, v'chayev al ktanim ki gdolim. So that, even though we cannot necessarily come to a kal v'chomer, nevertheless, we are mechayev al ktanim gdolim because oveni gach, ovaki gach.
So this reversing the kal v'chomer actually probably knocks down the first proof of the Ben Matzino.
Also, it reverses both of them. Really.
If not, then what do you
Right, it has to eliminate both. That is correct. Right. Because if you look at the pasuk, where the pasuk is found, uveni gach uvati gach, that's only found with the gabe a muach. How do you know, right? If by a tam, I mean the beginning of the pasukim in mishpatim when you have chavkad it says yigach short ish o isha, and then we saw by muad it says. Right, again, ish o isha. So we saw that repeated ish o isha, once by tam, once by muad. Now, if it mentions it by tam, right, then you could say kal v'chomer to muad. Problem is here that it mentions oveni gach, ovati gach by muad, that doesn't make it necessarily obvious that it's going to apply by tam. So the Inliyala Bumwadim, Bitaminai. How do I know by a Tam also that there's no distinction between a Ketanim and Gidolim? So Dinu, follow Dinu, isn't it a Din? Hoyo Bekhayev Viisha, Bekhayev Biben Ubibat, right? Just like I know that by an Ish and Isha you're Chayev. And by Ben and Bat, I'm Chayev by Muadim, right? Because we said, right, Ish and Isha by Muad, and we said Ben and Bat, right? Right? Also, when we said ish v'isha, we said there was no distinction between tam and muad applied in both instances. Also, again, you shouldn't distinguish between tam and muad. Again, this is learning like a memetzino, right? That just like we see there is, the Torah is not making such a distinction or not changing any dinim between tam and muad in these categories. So it should be throughout. It should remain the same. Va'od. Now we have the Kal v'Chomer. Ma ish v'isha shekein hora kocham benizakin. Right? Lo chalak bo ben tam lemuad. Ish v'isha who are weaker, who don't have strength by nizakin, which means that when they do damage, they pay for it. Ben ubat sheyafek kocham benizakin. When it comes to a ben ubat, when it comes to ketanim, right, do that have what's called power in nizakin? When their power in nizakin is that. That when they do damage, they don't have to pay for the damage that they did. They're not held culpable for that damage. Enudin, shlot achlok, behen ben tam the muad. And certainly we shouldn't distinguish between tam and muad in that instance. Now, Amar. V'chi dan in kal, mi chamor, lachmir. So now this question of the Gemara here is a. What? Right. If the. Alright, that's a question about. What this question is on. So, according to Rashi, the Gemara here is addressing only one part here, which is the Kal v'Chomer, right? It's only addressing the issue of how can you learn Chidanin Kal mi Chamor? How do you learn how something Kal from something that is Chamor, lahachmir, to then be more machmir on it? So what's the question on, right? If the Pasuk had written, I'm sorry, when it had by Tam and Mu'ad, right, when we write the when you come to be machmir on tam from something a din or a mematinu that you learn out from muad, right? Because we said by the mematinu that we have by ish v'isha that there was no distinction, right, by muad and tam. So certainly when we came to ben ubat igach, there should also be no distinction between tam and muad. The Gemara goes, wait, what type of limud is this? This Mematinu is taking something from Mu'ad and trying to place it onto a Tam. So you're basically taking something from the Chamor, placing it on the Kal, and saying that the Mematinu is suggesting that something that applies to something Chamor now should apply to something that is Kal. So that logic doesn't really hold. That's a very, very weak logic to suggest, right, that you can move something from the Chamor to the Kal with a Mematinu. If you look in Rashi writes this, Rashi Lehachmir. Rashi Lehachmir says, Alakal, the name of Kihechi, the Chamor Chayav, Kal Nami Chayav, Kedarashta, Tam Mimuad, that we learn from Tam Mimuad, Bememasinu, Tani Chayav Bishvisha, Chayav Bebenubat, Bimuad, Tahachyu the Benubat Mimuadu Dichtiv, right? We know Benubat is only written by Muad. The Kamar, Machyu the Ishvisha, Sabo Tam Kimuad. Ah, benuvat nase bo tam ki muad. Ashkechach the kayofa tam mi muad. So you end up burning out tam from muad, right? The ilo ashkechach chiyuv the benuvat muad lo yofa le bitam mi ish v'isha. The ish v'isha wouldn't have taught you anything about the benuvat without the fact that it was actually written by muad. Tabu muad gufe ilav the rabinu kra lo matid le diunu medina leel. We know that without the fact that the Torah had actually written explicitly benuvat, we wouldn't have known done by a mu'ad that you're chayav for tanim. Now all of a sudden, what are you trying to do? You're trying to take something a din by mu'ad and say, well, now a din by mu'ad is that tanim or chayav. So now let's apply that to tam as well. By ben matinu, because by ish v'isha we saw no distinction between tam and mu'ad. So let's say by ben and bat, it's also no distinction. What type of limud is it if you're starting out with that by mu'ad? If you started with that din by mu'ad, now you're trying to take a din that applies by mu'ad and apply it to a tam. Rashi basically says you're taking something from the Chamor to the Kal. There's a breakdown in the logic. You could just answer No, that's just not the case. Right, ish b'isha, there is no distinction. But ben or bat, there's a reason to distinguish. And why is there a reason to distinguish? One's mu'az and one's tam. And so, why should you say that it's irrelevant whether it's a tam and a mu'az when it comes to ben or bat? That's what Rashi says. Rashi says it ruins the, right, the memasinu that we tried to learn before. Now, Rashi does bring a second girta, a second Mishnah Akrina. He says, V'chidanin, if you look down, it's in the Imamarz, V'ish V'isha. You skip down like three lines in there. And he says, Lashon Akrina, V'chidanin kal mechomer, I think. Ben uvat, shipturim mina mitzvot, V'ish V'isha. Right, can you learn out ben uvat, which are turim from the mitzvot, from ish V'isha? So v'zeh shemati, v'yishom matzati v'kasher. First one I also found, and I think it's better, who min achron. Deichem shitalei hachkula, v'hachumra. How do you know that what's a chumra and what's a kula when it comes to ben ubat? Ketama tama, that's the Gemara's asking a question. V'chidayin, v'hatana eshka chumra b'ben ubat, v'yafek kochem nizakim ish v'isha. It's not obvious that a ben ubat versus ish v'isha is a chumura ka. They have tzadim, they go to shnei tzadim. I mean that ben ubat are patur min ha-mitzvot, so therefore maybe that's a kula. Alright, on the other hand, right, Yadan Ra, which is that they don't pay for any nizakim, so that's a chumra. So it should be. Right. So there, because of that, maybe it's a chumra. So it's not so clear, actually, says that one's a tzad chumra and one's a tzad ka. So to ask such a question that the Gemara is so obvious to the Gemara, that is a ka and a chumra here, doesn't make so much sense. So Rashi says this question is only addressing the mem asinu. That's the way Rashi wants it. Tosus, on the other hand, says, no, that's not the case. Tosus says that this question of kal v'chomer is actually addressing, right, the other case, second case, and then you can see now what Shaul pointed out is that the girsa that's missing from our Gemara, if you read what the girsa that fills in here, if you say, right, the chidan and kal v'chomer lahachmir alav, im hechmir b'muad hachamor, hachmir b'tama kal, ve'od, and now we ask an additional question, right? Iyamar to be ish v'isha, shekin chayavim mitzvot, tomar v'ben uvat shifturim min mitzvot. How do you know it's so obvious, right, that it's kal and chamur when it comes to ish v'isha versus ben uvat? Because we just, as we mentioned before, there's two tzadim to ben uvat. There's a tzad of chamur that we tried to down the kal v'chomer for, but there's also a tzad kula, which is that they are turim min mitzvot. And that ruins the kal v'chomer. Okay, so if you look in just Tosos, Tosos over here says, where is this? There's a Chidan in Kal Mechomer, Mechamor, or top Tosos over here, it says, Perish of Kuntris, Tahap Bircha Din Bishon, which is what we just read, right? Rashi believes that the question of the Gemara is on the first question, the first part, which is the Matzino. The Bedin Sheini, the Kal Mechomer Ish Visha, Shorako Chan Nizakin, Lo Danin Kal Mechomer, Tafilo Yelo Havak Tiv, Mu'ad Klal, because it has nothing to do with the tam and the mu'ad there. The din has to do with ish v'isha versus ben umbat. It has nothing to do with tam and mu'ad. Right? The kabachomer afagav with the kabachomer nami kamar. So even though in the kabachomer already it also says lo chilak, right, that we didn't differentiate between tam and mu'ad. Halishna lav dafka. That's lav dafka. Ulekach itzrich, and for that reason it needs the next answer of lo imamart lasod pircha b'din sheni shu kabachomer. Right, so that's why you come to have the second answer be a question on the kal v'chomer. So now, that's why if you look, Tosfos, the girsa that's missing, right, according to Tosfos, is trying to indicate that there are actually two questions over here. Right, one question is on the din rishon, which is the question of kal versus chomer. And then the second question is it really a kal v'chomer when it comes to isha and ish versus ben ubat? And if you look at that, that's why the girsa reads, right, that's why there are actually two answers, one addressing the Meimatzino, and one addressing the Kal V'Chomer. Right, the Girsa, right, then what is the question? The question is like the second Lishna in Rashi. The Lishna is, how could you doubt a Kal V'Chomer L'Hachmir, right, because what's the question? The question is from Ish Visha and Ben Bebat. That's not a Kal, that's not a Chomer. And that's what Rashi rejected. Rashi rejected that possibility of this being simply the question. So, depending on the gears, the way Tosfos points out, the way Rashi learned, that the question of Kal v'Chomer is only on the Mem Asinu, Then you have to have, the question afterwards, what we have Mamaris, is another, an additional question on the Tav HaChomer. But if you have the Girsa, like we have in the parentheses here, the Maram, who erases this Girsa, that forces you to say, what's the question of Kal V'Chomer? The question of Kal V'Chomer is, how could you learn from Ben and Bat and Ish V'Isha? Because Ben and Bat have a, right, Kubo, right, against Ish V'Isha, and you shouldn't learn anything out from Ish V'Isha. Again, Rashi rejected that as being a question on the Memesinu, because that's not Kal V'Chomer, because we have the other Tzad, which said that it was Chomor Chomor. So all we can't identify it as a Kal and Chomer. Why is it so obvious to the Gemara that it's Kal and Chomer? All the Gemara's pointing out is that there's another possibility, but it's not obvious. Okay, so that's just a point out for show. Also, that's why whether you read the Alav or not makes a difference in the Gemara.
If according to the Gersa without that, the question without the brothers, so it says Imam Marzavish,
Rishash,
Kesh, Kesh,
it does end up knocking out both, although Rashi just doesn't like the phrasing of it as Kal Michom Chamor, because it's not, the Gemara says, it's like an obvious statement that's Kal and Chamor, and that's not
really Kal and Chamor. It may be even, but.
Right, exactly. So that's what Rashi doesn't like about it. Doesn't mean that it doesn't eliminate both Limudim possibly. Alright. So Tamil Omar, Ovenigach, Ovatigach. So the Torah says, Benigach, Ovatigach. My assumption here is that they're learning out of the igach, right? Because it's extraneous. You could have said uven ovat igach, or ven igach ovat, right? You didn't need igach twice. So therefore we say negicha betam, negicha bemuad, negicha lemita, negicha lenizakin. The only real limud is igach betam and igach bemuad. And then just like by muad, the din is nizakin and mita apply to tanim. So to by tam, nizakim and mita will apply to tanim. So that's it. So just like we know by muad, because it says v'eni gach v'vati gach by muad, it applies to both to mita and nizakim. So too, when it comes to a short time, we're going to take that application to of mita and nizakim. The v'eni gach v'vati gach applies to mita and nizakim because it doesn't identify mita by v'eni gach v'vati gach. And then we're going to take that extra gach and apply it to tam as well. Okay, very good. Alright, Shor, Shayamit HaChech BaKotel. Shor was rubbing against the Kotel, and this is not HaKotel, but BaKotel, right? And V'nafal al Adam, and it fell on a person. So now, Nitzkavein V'haraget HaBema, or on the other hand, an animal intended to kill another animal, V'haraget Adam, and instead killed the person. Or, Laksani, right? It was trying to kill a Kaneh Varag Ben Yisrael, and then went ahead and killed a Jew. Then a Felim was trying to kill those that will not survive, either miscarried, right, those that are not considered to be alive, Varag Ben Kayamah, and he killed a person that was, either living or would have continued to live, Patur. All these cases, he is Patur, so what we're talking about here is seems to be a lack of Kavanah, Ayidei HaShur, right, there's a lack of Kavanah, and therefore he's Patur. What is Patur from, we're going to discuss in a second. I'll just note for you here, you see that little parentheses with the star over there. When it comes to Kanani, he says, if you look down below, there's an addition here, the Inu Abe Patre B'dinayu. It's interesting that when out of its way, didn't mention that in the Dine Knan, in their own Dinim, if you intend to kill one and you kill the other, you're Patur. And it's not to identify it as a din of Kani versus Israel. But if he intended for a Kanani, he went to Israel, so therefore you patur because that's the way they would have been done such a situation as well. And not to identify it as a slight that a Kanani somehow is different than Israel when it comes to any word.
But it is a difference of value of life, because if it wasn't, they wouldn't give an example of Kanani in Israel, they would have given an example of Reuven.
Okay, so that's a question. The reason that it doesn't do that is because it's not Muslim Nakol, which we're going to
deal
with. I think that it was, the Mishnah, the Gemara never said that. I think it's put in here, just like we saw earlier, by the Gemara, by Shor Knani, right, all the Rishonim jumped in to try to narrow the scope and to deal with it, because there were censors were looking at the Gemara, and they wanted to know what it said in it, and these types of things don't read so well when you read the Gemara.
So that's a journalist.
Alright, so Amar Shmuel. So Shmuel says, when it says Patur in the Mishnah, it means Patur mi mita, v'chayav v'kofer. Rav Amar, Patur mi zeh, u mi zeh. So we've seen this machlokas before. That machlokas was on the previous daf, right? Because we had the position of Rabbi Yochanan. The position of Rabbi Yochanan was that even when there was lo kavanah, without kavanah, right, you were kofar, still chayav and kofar, even though you were not chayav mita. When there was lack of kavanah for a shore, no mita for the shore, but yes, kofar for the baal. So who's that? So that means that Amar Shmuel, kofar mita v'chayav v'kofar, that's just like Rabbi Yochanan, right? On the other hand, Rav says patur mizeh mizeh, which we also saw yesterday, which was Rabba's position. Rabba's position is that if there is no mitzvah for the shore, there is no kofar for the baal. So this is the same machlokas that we saw between Rabba and Rabbi Yochanan, now between Shmuel and Rabba here. Famai. So Gemara asks this question here. So why? Why is the chayav at all here? Ha tamu. He is a tam. Now, what exactly the question is a little difficult. What does it mean that he's a tamhu? Right? Because even so, Rashi says what it means by tamhu is a filu man the darishim kofer hanimil in the muat shalav kavana. But tamhu b'fichukze that here when we said before that Rabbi Yochanan believes in kofer you shalav alav the din in muad. So it's a muad shalav kavana pays kofer. Over here, our Mishnah doesn't say that the animal was a mu'ad. It says the first time it bumps into a kotel, falls onto a person, and, right, therefore, he is chayav olsem kofer, according to Shmuel. Why? If this is the first time he bumps into a wall, he says, Tom doesn't pay kofer, why are we talking about kofer at all? That's what Rashi says the question is. Tosfos makes this question a little more complex, or a little more sophisticated, which is that, how could you ever become a mu'ad in this type of situation? Right, because the havamino of the, at least of the makshan over here, is that here this animal goes and bumping into walls, but not intending to kill people, or not intending to even knock the wall down necessarily, possibly. So why, how could you make him a mu'ad here? What is the action that he's taking that he becomes a mu'ad for? Yes, he's a mu'ad to rub his body up against walls, but where is he a mu'ad to take down walls or to kill? I mean, that we don't see here. That's the question. Ratamu. The kadamer.
Rubbing himself against the wall assuming it's good, that's considered
normal behavior. Normal behavior. Right. So now we're going to ask the Amarav. Like Rav says later on in the Gemara, B'mu'adipol al b'nei adam b'borot. It's similar to a case. The case later on in the Gemara is that you have a shore, there's a mu'ad, right, to fall, drop himself into pits, right, onto people in pits. Alright, that's his. He likes going into these pits. We'll see why in a second. And he always wants to make sure there's a cushion underneath him. So, he lands on people every time he goes down into a pit. Alright, so, Hakanami, b'mu'adli chayechal b'nei adam b'katlin. That's exactly right. He likes to, right, take down walls. That's his, he likes to take down walls when there are people there. So, where it says, yihochi bar kamahu. What are we talking about here? Alright, now you identified a case of a tam that could become a mu'ad. He becomes a mu'ad by landing on people in board, or he's by knocking walls down onto people. Only problem is, he's chayav mitzvah the first time. Meaning that, how do you ever get to that third time that we had before? Right, to mu'ad, if he's already dead after the first time. Now, the Gemara did, we had all those answers before. I think that you have to say that the difference between the answers we gave before, and the answer here, is here that, over here, the answers before were, number one, more generic. Right, they were a generic type of goring. We mean that when an animal gores, right, some of the answers, you know, is that we kill through its goring. But we're talking about here is a very unusual type of case. To say that, right, that a tam over here, we give an umdana that this animal is going to knock down three walls on people. That's not an answer that could fit in our situation over here. I mean that the answers over there were generic answers for animals that do normal things, or they do like goring, which is kavanatola hazik. That makes sense over there to answer what we did by the Mishnah. Over here, we're looking at a very, very unique type of case where an animal is knocking walls onto people, right? Then you can't just answer up a generic type of answer that says, oh, well, you know, it happened three times. We think it's going to happen three times. Did it on a behemoth, didn't do it on a dump. The case is so unique and so unusual, we have to come up with a way to have three times that this actual case will take place. So Namar says, Bishlama hatam. Over there, we can explain it why the chazi roka v'nafa. Right, the case was that there was some grass in the boar, or on the side of the boar. There was some grass hanging out over there. Every time the animal went to eat, right, now, for an animal to go to eat, that's normal behavior. So then when he lands on top of people each time, so the first three times we say, listen, he wasn't trying to kill the person, he was just trying to eat. Right? And then he ends up on the person. After he does it three times already, then we say, alright, listen, this guy is a little bit, he's a little too obvious that he's landing on people every time he goes to eat. So on the side of A4, we can make him into what? Ahokha might kill the Maymar. What are you going to say over here? What type of normal behavior are we talking about over here? So Shaul pointed it out before. Well, yeah, there is some normal behavior over here, which is Hachanami. That's exactly what we saw. It was a Togav chain that we saw before. The animals like to rub themselves up against the walls, and that's the Hanatahu. So you have a Togav chain here. So it is normal behavior for an animal, and therefore we're not going to consider it Kavanatolah Zik, right, until we see, identify that there's a pattern of behavior which shows that he's rubbing himself against the body, taking walls down every time he does it on top of people, then it becomes.
So then why is it supposed to convince someone to do it?
Kavanah to pack walls down, but you may not have kavanah to kill people. Right, so that's a Ayodina. Simple question. How do we know why the ox is bumping himself into the wall? Right? So how do we know that he's doing it lehanato versus doing it to knock the wall down? Right? So the Gemara says, both are not fall, come and talk that way, because after the wall falls down, we still see him rolling around on the wall, rubbing himself up against it. So we know that his intention, or the shore was trying to rub, you know, take care of himself, versus simply knock down the wall. It's a short PKF. But now the Gemara says, Kate, why are you identifying this as shore or some sort of direct obligation of the shore? Sroros, Nino. What's Sroros? Sroros is always Koho. Right? When it's Koach, it does something. So when do we have his Koach doing something over here? He knocks the wall, and the wall, in falling, then kills the person. That's the equivalent of Sroros. We saw by Rego, if he's doing normal behavior, and then through his koach, something happens, right, then we say that's called Sroros. Because even if he does Rego, he's walking along, he kicks the rock goes flying, and it does damage, right, that's Sroros. So it's over here. He rubs his body up against the wall, right, that is something that's normal for the animal to do. The wall falls down, and then through falling down, kills the person, that's also Sroros. That's Kocho of the shark. So the case over here is, Rashi says, that he does not release the wall, in a sense. It's not like he rubs against the wall and the wall falls. He actually puts his whole body on the wall and takes the wall down with his body on the wall. Then you can't divide it as kofo. It's grufo that is taking the wall over here. Again, just to summarize what we've seen until now, which is, simply, we identified a shor mo'ad. We couldn't start with shor tam. Shor tam's not chayv kofer, so it's nothing to talk about. Either according to Rashi, the question is, how do we ever get a case of kofer if we're talking about a tam? We have to be talking about a mu'ad. So that's what the Gemara is trying to do, find the case of mu'ad. According to the Tosfos, it's how do we ever get to mu'ad, right? Because, right, tam, these types of tam, you can't create a mu'ad out of it. It's an unusual case. Then we come up with this idea that a shore can have a repetitive behavior, which then makes them a mu'ad. Right. An unusual behavior that, even unusual behavior can become a usual or a commonplace behavior, and he can become a mu'ad to such behavior, right, if he repeats it, it's repetitive. Tosfos even possibly suggests over here, because it has to do with an issue later on, that it doesn't even have to be repetitive behavior. Meaning that the fact that he can be mu'ad here is because he can be mu'ad because it's regular shame. That we see an animal that's just acting in a certain manner that's common to that animal, that becomes already, since animals normally would rub themselves up against walls, right, and that becomes its mu'ad mitzchilato, right? Shane and regular mu'ad mitzchilato, that might be the answer of the question. Anyways, now, Gemara says, Tanya kavate di Shmuel, utuyub to the rabbi. A bright that supports the position of Shmuel and the question for Rav. Yesh chayav b'mita u'bekofer. So a case where you can be chayav mitzah and kofer. Yesh chayav b'kofer u'kotar b'mitzah, which is obviously going to be the support for Shmuel. You can have a kofer, chiyuv kofer, without any mitzah. V'yeish chayav b'mitzah u'potar min ha-kofer. In this case, we can have mitzah, no kofer. V'yeish potar mitzah mizeh. What are the cases? Not cases. Mu'ad b'kavanah. We're talking about a mu'ad b'kavanah. Chayav b'mitzah u'b'kofer. That's pretty straightforward. You get mitzah and you pay kofer. Right, now, what's the case of, right, mu'ad shalo b'kavanah? Mu'ad without kavanah, chayav b'kofer u'potar min mitzah. That's exactly Shmuel Shita. That is the shita of Rabbi Yochanan, right? So that's what the proof is to Shmuel and a problem for the Rab. Tam b'kavanah, right? If it's a tam who does it intentionally, chayav misa, tam gets misa, right? That's what the pasuk says. Well, pasuk me a kofer. Kofer is only applicable by a mu'ad, not by a tam. Tam shalobe kavana patur mizeh mizeh. Then he doesn't get mitzvah and he doesn't get kofer. Veha nizakin shalobe kavana. When it comes to nizakin shalobe kavana, what's the din? We've only dealt so far with mitzvah shalobe kavana. Right? Whether he takes kofer, he doesn't take kofer. Right? And we also dealt with the fact that mitzvah shalobe kavana, possibly there's a din of damim. Right, well, din of damim means that there is nizakin, because that's built off a super, it's like a super nezek. Right,
well,
so
in terms of kofar, could be a din of kafar, could be a din of nizakin, no?
No, kofar is kafara. Kufra kafara. Having me that they were arguing, kufra mawana kufra kafara, the Gemara says, no, kulu kol, kuli alma, kafara. Now, as you got, and nizakin shalobi kavana, again, we saw this, again, this case before where we said that when there is no kufra kafara, maybe there is damim, and if there is damim, that is means that there is some sort of super nezek when you kill, right? So now Rabbi Yehuda is mechayev, and Rabbi Shimon is poter. Yehuda says you're chayav when it comes to nizakin shalobi kavana, whereas Rabbi Shimon says you're patur. I just note that this is the same Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, that have machok is in Gemara Shabbos, that's our Shein Eskabin. Alright, so here we have Rabbi Shimon says Rabbi Shein Eskabin and says it's patur over here. And Rabbi Yehuda says Mechayev, and we're going to see that their shitot follow all the way through here. My time up. My time of Rabbi Yehuda. Y'all listen to me, Kofro. He says, let's learn how to Kofro. Ma Kofro, Shlobe Kavanah Chayav. Apni Zakin, Nami Shlobe Kavanah Chayav. So assuming, like Rabbi Shmuel, or like Rabbi Yochanan, that when you have Mitzvah Shlobe Kavanah, you're Chayav. When a shore kills Shlobe Kavanah, you're Chayav Kofro. So too, by Nizakin, also Shlobe Kavanah, you'll be Chayav. Rabbi Shimon Yelich be cut leg. The short. So it leads from the mitzvah of the short. Makatle shalobi kavanah patur. Right? So when shalobi kavanah, a short does not get put to death. Adnizagin shalobi kavanah also should be patur. Rabbi Yehuda nami nalef mikatle. So Rabbi Yehuda, why is he going to make a Shimon from the death, or the putting the death of the short? Then in tashlumi mitashlumi. He says, listen, when you deal with payments, you're dealing with compensatory damages, you're dealing with co-fair, when you're dealing with, right, a nezek, that makes sense to learn one from the other. The two have nothing to do with each other. Why would you learn from them? So now, Rabbi Shimon, Nami, Nelef, Mikopro. Why it says, Dani, Michiyuve, the shore, Michiyuve, the shore. Right? What drives, what causes, right? What's the obligation of the shore? Afuke Kofer, the Chiyuve, the Balimho. Right? By Nezek, and by Miso, you're dealing with what the obligation that the either the shore creates or the obligation of the shore. Versus Kofer, which is really placed on the Baal himself. Because when it comes to the killing of the shore, that's the punishment. Meaning in terms of Nezek,
kill the shore because he killed the person.
Killed the person.
Right, you,
there is no Nezek now.
Baal is the Kofer because he didn't guard his shore properly, and as a result, he lost their life.
So that's an Onesh. And there's an Onesh that requires a Kapara. It's not Nezek, not Damim, it's not repayment for Nezek, it's simply Kapara Onesh. Kapara Onesh only is applicable to a human being, not applicable to shore. And that would be the distinction over here between, at least Rabbi Shimon thinks, well, I don't want to learn out from kofar to regular compensatory damages, which have to do with an obligation generated through the shore. And I think you can even say more so by a tam, where he takes me gufo, meaning that you can even see that more clearly, right, that there could be a case where shore is chayav, and chayav comes really out, me gufo shel shore. All right, now, it's coming, la rogat ebeima, v'ragat adam patur. So now, ha, this is David's point. Ha, nitkavin v'rogetzeh chayav. The implication from our Mishnah is exactly what David drew a distinction in the Mishnah, which is that means that if Reuven intended to give Reuven, he killed Shimon, that he would be chayav. Right? So that's called transfer of intent. Again, you have a concept called transfer of intent. That a person intends to murder Reuven, and then goes ahead and murders Shimon, right? Now, what do we consider the killing of Shimon? Is that considered manslaughter? Is that considered murder? Do we transfer his intent that he intended to murder Reuven, and therefore, when he kills Shimon, it's also murder? Or do we say, no, his intention was to kill Reuven, and therefore, when he kills Shimon, that's unintentional killing, and therefore, it's only manslaughter, not murder. It's a question of that, whether you transfer the intent or not. So, how does Gavin Rukazer, Chayav? The Mishnah seems to indicate or implicate that transfer intent does work here, and you'll be Chayav. Right? Masnitsa and the low Rabbi Shimon. We have another opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya. Rabbi Shimon Omer, I feel like the rug is this, the rug is this, patur. Even if he intends to kill one and kills the other, he's patur. My time is Rabbi Shimon, Damar Kra, Ashur Yisrael, Vigamba Lav Yumat. Kamit of Dalim, Kat Mit at the shore. The shore will be held to the same standard as the Ba'alim. So far all we addressed was a shore that intends to kill Reuven and then kills Shimon. This is the first case over here. We have Machlokes Rabbi Shimon and our Mishnah and probably Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. When a shore intends to kill one individual, kills the other individual, the Mishnah seems to indicate right, that you are in chayav in that case, because all our Mishnah addressed was if he intends for a behemah and he does an adam, right, that is patur. But if it sounds like he intended for an adam and he did an adam, that he would be right chayav, right. So that's the one case. And Rabbi Shimon says no, in that case you are patur. So now we take another case of inu miskaven by Rabbi Shimon that says patur. This is for the short mitzvah, the shore itself. Now where does Rabbi Shimon know that from? He says there's a hekesh between the killing of the shore and the baalim. Now where do we see that by the baalim? So that's the next thing, right? Come up, kimita the baalim, kach mita the shore. Ma baalim ad mikaven le, I'm sure not me ad mikaven le. Right? First, just like by baalim, until they intend to kill this particular individual, they are not chayav. So do by the shore. So when it says the baalim kufayu minala. Where do the Balim know this from? Meaning that, how do you know that the Balim felt have to have particular intent as an individual? I mean, that when the person intends to kill Reuven, he kills him, then he'll be Chayav. But he intends to kill Reuven and kill Shimon, he'll be Pator, which will be Rabbi Shimon Shita again. The Amar Kral, the Pasuk says, the Arav Lo, the Kamalav. That he has to sit in wait, meaning that he sits to trap him, to pounce on him. Right? The Kamalav, Achiz Kavein Lo. That he has to have specific directed intent for the individual he's trying to give. It has to be premeditated, basically, which is what the pasuk is indicating over here, that it needs premeditation in order to be chayav. And Rabbi Shimon's definition of premeditation means I intend and I successfully, right, I successfully kill the person I intend to kill. So that is...
Can a person always blame, oh, I thought it was a guy. I thought it was a lady. Tosfos deals
with your question above. He deals with later on in the Gemara, but he deals with this idea of Hatzrat Tzavik. How do you deal with Hatzrat Tzavik over here? Because the Gemara is dealing with a case where he throws a rock into a pile of people. So how do you give it to Hatzrat and then you deal with Hatzrat Tzavik? Tosfos' answer, right? That's the Gemara coming up in 1 second, right? But that's the question. The Tosfos' answer will apply here to your same question, which is, I'll read you Tosfos' answer. Yisrael Amar, the shiny house of the Odeh B'vivir Shiavot Day Yisur. Right, that there's a, when a person knows for certain that they're coming sure, that's not called a trust of fake anymore. I mean, a trust of fake is when I don't know whether you're going to kill or not kill. Right, so here, a trust has indicated that you are going to kill this individual. Right now, he can make the claim I was intending for someone else, but when we say he's intending for someone else, I don't think it means the case like what you're suggesting, that he said, I intended for Levi and now it's really Shimon. It means that there are two people there. And there's Levi and Shimon, the two objects in front of him, and he's intending for one object and he ends up killing the other object. Not where he said, he intends to kill the object in front of him, and it turns out it's the wrong person. I don't think that's the...
So the case is two people.
Right, yeah, exactly. As long as there's another victim, possible victim there, then he can make a lie. Yeah. So that's right. And it always seems to be that there's a intended victim, and he ends up calling someone else. All right, now, what do the Rabbanan do? Rav Shimon has a good claim here, that the puzzle says that he has to have intent. So what is where it says, Rabbanan, hi Arablo, my Ibzile, what do they do with this Arablo? I'm ready to debate Rabbi Yanai, Prat is a rape, Evan the goat. This comes to exclude a case where he just throws a rock into a pile of people, right, and kills them. So, I mean, that you have different levels of intent that you can come to. Right, the one level of intent which Rabbi Shimon's talking about, which is the highest level of intent, is I intend for this individual and I kill this individual. There's a middle case, which is that I intend to kill, right, but I was trying to kill Reuben and end up killing Shimon, right? That's another level. And then there's an even lesser form of intent, which is I just threw a rock into a pile of people. And we don't know.
I intended to kill someone,
but I even have an identified victim at that point. So those are three, you know, three gradations. So come and say, come to eliminate that lowest form of, right, of lack of kavana. But anything with some sort of intent will be enough. If I intend to kill a victim, a directed victim, that's enough.
Right, that's nothing.
So that's what's called transfer intent will work for the Rabbanan, as well as particular intent. Rav Shimon, you can only have particular intent. Hey, Kidami, the problem is, what's that case? What's the case where a person throws a rock into a meadow of people and then he kills someone? Elaim is Ika Tishak Nanim Bechad Israel. Right, again, if there's 9 Tanim and 1 Israel, Benehem, typically it's Rubak Tanim Nehu. And if it's Rubak Tanim Nehu, right, then he'd be Pator. At least the implication here is that he's Pator. You notice the star in the bracket again that says that Vizinehem, that's the way they would be done it again. So it's a notice. Inami, Palga U Palga. So now what are you going to suggest? Right, it's 50-50. Right, I mean that it's 50-50 of people there, he throws the rock in. And generally when it comes to putting someone to death, we always give them the benefit of the doubt. So over here, if it's 50-50, right, we're going to, even though it's an exact equal size, we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt and we won't kill him for that. So lo zricha. So what's the case? The ikat tisha Yisraelim ve'achad Kanani. There's 9 Yisraelim and 1 Kanani. The apagav the ruba Yisraelim ninhu. Even though here the robe is Yisraelim, so in this case he should be what? He should be chayav. Nevertheless, kema the ikat chad Kanani beinayu havalei kavua. Oh, it's fixed in place. V'chol kavua kemechta al mechta domi. Whenever you have people that are in a fixed location, no matter what the distribution of the numbers are, it becomes like a case of 50-50. The suffix nafashot akel. And then we take shavuot nafashot akel, and that's when he is patur.
Right. What is the case? Then choose?
What?
Well, yes, basically, you said we have 3 levels.
Right.
What is the
so that last level, I probably did it, I tried to find it wrong before, but the last level is that I didn't intend to kill someone that I would be chayav mitzvah for. That's probably the right way to phrase it, rather than say I didn't intend to kill at all. Or then when I throw it into the pile of people.
He didn't kill at all, and everyone would say his partner.
Right, right. So then, now, this is the source throughout the Torah of Mechta, that kosher kavua, Mechta Mechta. I mean, this is it. Because here the Gemara didn't need the case of Babra Avlo. The Tanit may. This Tana today, Rabbi Yannai, comes to tell you what's the whole purpose of telling him about a Rav Lo. Comes to teach me about this crazy case that where I have Tisha Yisraelim, one Kanani, that I'm Patur because it makes it like Mechta Mechta. Right, so that, this is the source for Kol Kavua Mechta Mechta Dummy, right here. This is the source for that Kol Kavua Mechta Mechta Dummy. And that, because of that, now, as Yossi just pointed out, now we have a consistent Shita of Rabbi Shimon and let's call it Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda throughout. Rabbi Shimon says whenever there's a lack of Kavanah, you're out, right? I mean, so therefore, if you have a lack of kavanah by nizakin, patur. If you have a lack of kavanah by, when the shore is made, right, is meimit over there, right? Also, what he says, aniskavin rogazeh, baragazeh, right? When he has lack of kavanah by a shore intending to kill one and ends up killing another, patur. Also over here, by balim, he intends to kill one and kills another, patur. So Rav Shimon consistently throughout says patur, unless you specifically intend. That means that for a shore to be chayav mizakin, you have to have kavanah lahazik, right? And for a shore to be chayav mitzah, you have to have kavanah for the individual that he killed. And for an adam to be chayav, you have to have kavanah intent for the person that intends and successfully killed the person. According to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Chachamim, that's not the case. That even by a lack of kavanah, right? By mizakin, lack of kavanah, you don't have, you are chayav, according to Rabbi Yehuda. By a lack of kavanah, by the shore, when he's he is still chayav mitzah. In that case, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's the Mishnah, the deal from our Mishnah, that even when he intended for one and kills another, you are chayav. And the last case over here, which is the case where the Baal intended for one and kills another, you are chayav. We say transfer of intent, and you're chayav until, right, the only case you're patur is, right, where you either, when you threw it in, and you didn't intend to kill. And as long as you didn't, if you didn't intend to kill, then you won't be chayav. But if you had intent to kill, you always be chayav, unless you come up with an issue of kavua mechta mechta or other reasons to be pater you that are independent of the kavanah issue.
You don't even need kavua
mechta mechta. No,
no. So he
doesn't. Does Rabbi Shimon hold from that? Right, it's also the question. Where does Rabbi Shimon learn out kosher mechta from? Because this is the source for any using Barav Lo for something else. Right, so where did he, it says, if you look, in Kol Kavua Mechta Mechta says, Ma'afa Nafi B'chol Tuch, David Tehmele B'Shimon, Kavua Manali. Where does he know it from? Right, so he says, if you look at the bottom of the gives an answer. So it's a good question. Right, so he says, listen, Rabbi Shimon can take the case of a Rav Lo, where just that he says there are 9 Yisraelim standing there, and 1 Kanani, and he specifically says that I'm intending for the Kanani. And he throws it over. The patur mitam kavua mirav lo. The haigavna kula in Israel chayavin. If that had been all Israelim, he would have been chayav. Now with the Kanani, it's poter him. So it comes out a crazy.
Would say if all Israelim
chayav, right. So even at least according to Tosfos, that's what he says. So he suggests he learns it from that. All right, just we'll do this next mission quickly. Shor ha'isha v'shor yitomim shor apitropus shor midbar shor ekdesh shor ager shemeid ben lo yoshim. All these will be put to death. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shor Midbar, Shor Ekdesh, Shor Ger, Shor Meit, Paturim Min HaMita, V'Shein Lehem Balib. They have no owners. Since they have no owners, they do not get Mita, because it says, V'u'ad Bivalav, or, right, that the idea is that the Shor is made is because he has some sort of, he's a sort of ownership over here. V'yikach Shor Et Ish O'et Ishav, V'meit V'choy Yitzkal Eshkor, V'leochad V'tero, V'la Shor Naki, implies that there's a Bala Shor. And second of all, by Muad, it says, Muad Bilalab. So it indicates that there is some sort of Balus over here. So he takes away the 3 that don't have Balin. So Tan Rabbanan, Shur, Shiva, right? So what is Shur, Shiva? It means that in the Parsha, the word Shur is repeated 7 times when it talks about Nogeach Adam. Now, six of them are extraneous. One of them need for the parsha itself. The other six are extraneous, which come to include, that'd be the six cases in our Mishnah, which is Shora Isha, Shora Yitomim, Shora Pichopus, Shora Midbar, Shora Ekdesh, Shora Ger, Shemei Vein Lo Yorshim. Those are the six cases of Yehuda Omer. Shora Midbar, Shora Ekdesh, Shora Ger, Shemei Vein Lo Yorshim, Turim, Min Amitaz, Yein Lehem Balin. Amar... Right, sorry, right. Have to deal. What does he do with the extra... Right.
Why do you need so many psukim? I can just say, Kor Shol Shana Balin,
right. Well, no, there are cases of Balin here, Shor Isha and Shor Petropos. I mean, those are cases that there are weaknesses. If you want to go, we can go through all the weaknesses, right, that you don't say, that when it says Bala Shor Naki, that it's written in the Zachar, not the Keba. So that's right, it says, obviously, it's Otema, Bala Shor, Dechtiv Lashon Zachar. It says Bala Shor Naki, that you don't say it only applies to a man and not to a woman.
So it should say Bala
Shor. Sure, right, because what that says, Ish V'Isha, it says Ba'adigach, Ba'adigach, because Parsha does go through all the different Lashonot. Alright, so that's, they're not all about Balas. It's about, there are different issues in each one. And Apitropus and by, Kitanim, Yitomim, right? These are they're different issues. So Amar Rabuna, Poter Hayar Rabbi Shiuda Afilu Nagach, Lusofi Dish, Nagach Lusofi Fkir. That it's not even simply that it was unowned at the time it did the damage, but even if it's unowned after the time that it did the damage before it was brought to Din. Mimahai Mikhtani Tarte, because the mission wrote two different things. Shor Midbar, Shor Ager Shemei Fein Lo Yorshim. So now, wait a minute. Why do I need both of these? Shor Shiger Shemeit, my Nihu. Right, what is the case? When a shor of a ger dies, what is the classification of that shor? Hefker, right, my Nihu. Kevin Dein Lo Yoshim, Avalei Shor Hefker. I know, Shor Amidbar. That's exactly like a wild shor, which has no owners. Meaning that, yeah, you gave me the exact same case, which I think, David, you were asking a little bit. You have multiple cases of the same thing. So, I know Shor Ager, Shemeit, Dein Lo Yoshim. El Alav, Hakamash Malan, this comes to teach us, that I feel in Agach, Udusof, Higdish, and then even if he did in the Kicha, and then he, right, was Makdishit, Nagach, the Sofis Kir, right, that either one, Shmamina, that you would be Patur in those instances. Tanya Nami Alcheva Bryce supports this position. Yet, Alkena Marab Yehuda, Filin Nagach, Ulusofi Kdish, Nagach, Ulusofi Kir, Patur. Again, even after the damage is done, after the animal went and killed, right, if the person was then Makir, disowned the animal, then the animal is Patur Mimisa. Shneamar, du'ad bebalav vehemit. Right? I mean that you need balim there and vehemit. Ajte mitah, v'amada b'din shavin. You need both the mitzah and the amada b'din to be equal in their ownership. I mean, to be owned throughout the thing.
So if somebody has a shor that would be, how do
you
say,
it's
and then you can reclaim
it afterwards. Right. Yeah, possible. Right. I mean, wait, but Gemara didn't know Bina. Wait a minute. What about Gemara didn't know Bina? Right, it says, well, Hashor Yitzakel. Right, it says, well, I've evolved a mitzvah, Hashor Yitzakel. Meaning that that's all part of this package over here. The Gemara Dinu, Ela Ema, Ache Mitzav, Amadim, the Gemara Dinu, Shavim Gechat. They have to have ownership, the single ownership that runs from the time, the killing, the animal did the killing, through Amad Abedin, and then through Gemara Din, it has to be all owned throughout. If you could disown it at any point along the way, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would be Patur. Okay, we'll stop over here.